You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The endless parade of time. Who can say what fruits the future will see ripen? We can only keep looking towards
tomorrow's world with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95BFM.
Let's talk about sex. This week, Stella and Isla explore the recently announced SPOT study, which stands for Sex and Prevention of Transmission study, including patterns of HIV transmission, why some populations are more vulnerable, and the mechanisms by which HIV infects. They speak to Joshua McCormack and Cameron Leakey, two researchers on the SPOTS team.
Hey, Earthlings!
Welcome back to another episode of Tomorrow's World,
the show where we explore science and society.
I'm Isla.
And I'm Stella.
Over the next 8 weeks, the University of Auckland-led Sex and Prevention of Transmission Study, also shortened to SPOT, aims to gather data from 4,000 gay, bisexual and other men who have sex with men, MSM, through an online survey and optional dried blood SPOT test.
We spoke to two people doing the mahi in this study, Joshua McCormack and Cameron Leakey,
to tell us more about what the study hopes to aim and the current space of HIV in Aotearoa.
So the kaupapa that I'm here to talk about today is the Sex and Prevention of Transmission Study, which is the biggest HIV behavioural surveillance and essentially gay sex survey in Aotearoa, which is really exciting. Currently here in Aotearoa, gay and bisexual men cannot donate blood until they've waited for 3 months since they last had anal or oral sex with or without a condom, which I think a lot of people, particularly our age, would find is a bit, you know, confusing or just a bit messed up. It's a bit historic and outdated. And our study is basically the study that's going to investigate whether or not it actually is outdated, as well as trying to find some of the attitudes and values of people of our communities and whether they would or would not donate blood.
Can you give us a broad explanation of HIV's infection at a cellular level?
There are several factors that are needed for an HIV infection to occur. So the first thing is that you need somebody who is living with HIV, and you need someone who doesn't know that they're living with HIV, because a person living with HIV who's on effective treatment presents a very low to virtually zero risk of transmitting HIV. So the highest risk is those that are living with HIV and don't know and essentially aren't on treatment. The second thing that you'd need is an activity that may lead to infection. So this is where there's an activity where there's an exchange of a bodily fluid, particularly blood, semen, vaginal fluid, rectal fluid, and breast milk, potential exchange with the bloodstream of a vulnerable person. So this would be through a mucous membrane or through non-intact skin. And then there's got to be enough virus and a high enough viral load from the infected person. So there would be enough of the bodily fluid with a high enough concentration of HIV within that fluid. And the virus has then got to overcome your body's natural defenses and immune system. So for example, the epithelial cells in the rectum are only one layer and a lot thinner than other epithelial layers in other parts of the body. Essentially what can happen, the HIV particles can account for CD4 T helper cells. So there's three types of immune cells that are vulnerable: CD4 plus, which are called your T helper cells, your CXCR4 and CCR5 cells. And essentially, the virus is looking for these immune cells to latch onto and plant into and to insert a copy of the RNA genome into the DNA and then to make more HIV viruses.
Can you comment broadly on what kind of patterns of transmission that the disease actually has?
Yeah, so this varies worldwide. In Africa, for example, transmission is predominantly heterosexual, so between male and female, or female and male. But we do see that the men who have sex with men in these countries still have a higher prevalence. And in Western countries, in developed countries like New Zealand, we see two main populations where HIV occurs more so. The first is men who have sex with men. So this is our gay, bisexual, pansexual, takatāpui men, or men who don't identify with some of these labels, but still through their sexual behaviour are men who have sex with men. And also through intravenous drug users who share needles. Now, the risk for these intravenous drug users who share needles varies depending on the country. So in New Zealand, we have a needle exchange program, and we've had that since 1987. It's a really effective program. And what we've seen is that the rates of HIV amongst these communities has remained really low. But for our men who have sex with men, we are still seeing an elevated risk of HIV. There's a couple of reasons for this. The first is that anal intercourse presents the highest risk of HIV transmission. There's a susceptibility of the cells within the rectum. There's a large number of potentially vulnerable immune cells like CD4+, CXCR4 cells, and CCR5 cells. The second reason is that HIV is already within this population. And that leads to the third point, which is that the sexual networks within these communities is smaller.
Let's look at some positive stuff. How is the SPOT study beginning to cater to men who have sex with men who are vulnerable right now, who maybe aren't being catered to as well as they could be by the health system that we have in place right now?
The study that I'm a part of, the Sex and Prevention of Transmission Study, or SPOTS, is part of an ongoing program of what's called biobehavioral surveillance. And it sounds really technical, but in reality, what we're doing is going out to the community and asking people what they're doing or not doing around HIV prevention and treatment and sexual health. Essentially, what we're doing is trying to get a good understanding of what the community are doing, and so we can tailor health services as a result.
So looking at some statistics, 2017 is when Aotearoa, one of the first major countries to, you know, support and get behind funding and PrEP as well. Could you explain how do the drugs suppress infections?
Basically, our study, our SPOTS study, is the first time we've been investigating HIV in our populations of men who have sex with men for the first time since what we call the post-2015 biomedical era of HIV prevention. So that's basically just a really big way of saying that there's been two big players on the scene since around 2015, and that's PrEP, as well as the idea of U equals U. PrEP is a pill that you can take once daily, just stops you from being able to acquire HIV with an effectiveness of around up to 99.6% if you follow all of the instructions on how to take it. The other angle of that was the U equals U, which stands for undetectable equals uninfectious. So what that means is that for people who are living with HIV, you can now take three medications each day, and together they're called combination medication therapy. And what that means is that within your blood, you can achieve what's called an undetectable viral load. And when you do achieve that, it means that you can't pass it on to any of your sexual partners, even if you are not using a condom when you're having sex. So that's really why it's super important for us to be, you know, with our SPOT study, mapping out, you know, the highest risk groups for undiagnosed HIV. Because in today's era, you know, the people that we want to really be targeting are those who are either undiagnosed or currently not on PrEP who potentially should be.
And you've touched on this briefly, but do you mind going a little bit more in depth into what the overall aim of the SPOT study is?
Three key aims. So the first is that we want to update estimates of undiagnosed HIV within our communities of men who have sex with men here in Aotearoa for the first time since 2011. And that's pretty critical because that's all of that is happening since we've had PrEP and U equals U come onto the scene. The next thing we want to be doing is understanding sexual behaviours and patterns. And then the final part of our kaupapa is to understand the acceptability of the current blood donation ban on men who have sex with men from the New Zealand Blood Service. And the reason why that's important is because we want to be understanding, you know, how do people feel about this? Would they donate blood if they could? And also, do they just not believe in the current rules and are they donating blood anyway? So really, it's just about improving safety on a whole range of fronts. And we're really excited to be delivering this for our communities. I think SPOTS is a golden ticket opportunity, really, for our communities to have confidence that sharing their stories and experiences will directly influence the critical thinking and decision-making spaces where it really matters and counts. You know, most studies find data that ends up sitting in journals, but our data will be delivered directly back to, you know, community organisations and partner groups.
Well, things, we are so grateful to Joshua and Cam for talking to us today about their fantastic team doing some revolutionary work. And if you are keen to participate in the study, go to spots.org.nz to sign up or maybe even do the survey online.
That was spots.org.nz. Stay critical, Earthlings, and remember, safe sex is good sex.
Looks like everything's going to be all right.
Tomorrow's World with Isla Christensen and Stella Huggins on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.